So I've noticed that the future, it always shows up late, drunk, and rather useless. Let me elaborate. We were promised utopia, flying cars, robot servants, equality, prosperity for all, and finally even immortality. But what we actually got was Uber surge pricing, Siri mishearing basic commands, techno-feudalism, and an algorithm deciding that what you really need at 2 a.m. is 17 ads for erectile dysfunction supplements. And yet, according to the high priests of Silicon Valley, the men in black turtlenecks with Patagonia vests who speak like they're auditioning for both a TED Talk and a doomsday cult, they claim the singularity is coming. That magical moment when artificial intelligence synthesizes with human intelligence, solves all our problems, and liberates us from death itself. Or alternatively, turns us into irrelevant biological refuse. So basically, it's like the rapture for people who think kombucha is medicine and wear all birds instead of rosaries. They call it transcendence. I call it the most expensive midlife crisis in history. A kind of digital alchemy where your soul isn't saved through repentance, but through venture capital. And here's the part I find particularly absurd. While Silicon Valley prophesies immortality, the rest of us still can't upload a PDF to a health insurance portal without it triggering an existential crisis. We're promised eternal life, but can't even get financial customer service, let alone affordable health care. So the French existentialist, or absurdist philosopher Albert Camus described the absurd as the collision between our longing for meaning and the universe's refusal to provide it. And nowadays, the absurd is a billionaire promising to cure death, while most of us are just trying to cure our depression or anxiety with leftover Chinese takeout and SSRIs that may or may not be backordered. It's Waiting for Godot reimagined as a keynote presentation. So instead of two men under a barren tree, we're all staring at these glowing rectangles, waiting for salvation in the form of an app update. And of course, Godot doesn't arrive, but the new iOS does, complete with 20 more privacy violations and a battery that drains like it's actively mocking you. All right. So the singularity gets talked about like it's the climax of some epic narrative, as if humanity stumbling blindly through history finally creates something smarter than itself, our own Prometheus, but with superior Wi-Fi. And then, of course, everything changes forever. But here's the problem. Our so-called epic narrative is being written by guys who can't even design an app without shoving three ads on the subscription model down your throat. So you're telling me that the same industry that gave us Facebook's metaverse disaster and self-driving cars that still can't tell the difference between a pedestrian and a stop sign is going to shepherd us into godhood? That's like trusting the guy who flooded your bathroom to redesign the Hoover Dam. But wait, there's more. The absurdity runs even deeper, and it's on sale. These people aren't just promising gadgets. They're promising metaphysical salvation. Upload your consciousness. Live forever. Break free of the mortal coil. The same way priests used to promise heaven, now tech lords promise the cloud. Except instead of angels and harps, it's server farms and AI-generated music. And of course, it'll cost you. A truly endless subscription service. Eternal life. But first, please accept the terms and conditions in the fine print that you didn't read. And meanwhile, reality is crumbling. Our infrastructure is collapsing. We've got bridges literally falling apart. A healthcare system so broken that it qualifies as dark comedy. A generation medicating itself into numbness just to make it through the week. We can't fix potholes, but somehow immortality is penciled in for Q3 of next year. That's the surreal paradox here. Silicon Valley is out here selling us eternity, while the rest of us are just hoping our debit card clears before rent is due. Now, philosophically, this is where it gets a little fascinating. Camus would have laughed his ass off because he said, "The human condition is defined by our search for meaning in a universe that refuses to give any." But here, instead of confronting the void, we've outsourced it. We've decided that instead of accepting mortality, some app update will just solve it for us. I mean, it's magical thinking, but with venture capital. The church at least had incense and stained glass. Silicon Valley's offering is just a podcast ad for nootropics. And yet, people believe, because belief is what humans do. The guy at the bus stop waiting for Godot is really no different from the guy waiting for Elon Musk to invent brain implants that cure loneliness. Both are hoping for something that never arrives. Except one of them is probably paying $12.99 a month for the privilege. All right, so Camus described the absurd as the collision between our desperate craving for meaning and the universe's cold indifference. But at least the universe is honest about it. It doesn't pretend to care. The cosmos doesn't send you a push notification promising transcendence at 2 p.m. next Tuesday. Silicon Valley, on the other hand, does. Absurdity used to be staring up at the night sky, wondering if or wondering why God doesn't answer. Now, it's refreshing Twitter while Sam Altman tells you AI is going to solve death. So we're still staring into the void, only now the void has an app store. So this is where Beckett's Waiting for Godot feels eerily prophetic. It's two men stranded in a barren, meaningless landscape, waiting for salvation that never comes. Now, let's replace the barren tree with an iPhone charger. Swap the dusty road for an open floor plan, and you've basically got modern life. We're all Vladimir and Estragon, endlessly refreshing, waiting for the miracle, the singularity. And just like in Beckett's play, nothing actually happens, ever. Well, sure, every once in a while there's some big announcement. ChatGPT can pass the bar exam or pass the Turing test. Neuralink put a chip in a monkey. AI will revolutionize everything. But if you strip away all the PR, all of it basically boils down to, look, we taught a toaster to play chess. And meanwhile, rent is due, and your subpar therapist just raised their rates again. This is the new absurd theater. The grand promise of transcendence paired with the crushing banality of daily existence. It is no coincidence that people are drawn to it. Now, when Camus wrote The Myth of Sisyphus, our protagonist is described as a man who endlessly pushes a boulder up a hill only to watch it roll back down over and over again. That was the absurd existence. Now today, the boulder is a mountain of emails, bills, endless debt, loneliness and isolation, and various degrees of cosmic dread of the modern variety. And right when we're about to collapse, Silicon Valley shows up and says, "Oh, don't worry. Soon you won't have to push the boulder at all. We'll just upload you into a simulation where the boulder doesn't exist." And it's a seductive promise. I mean, who wouldn't want to escape the grind, the pain of being alive? Acknowledging and enduring the absurd is unbearable at times. I think we would all agree on this. Here's the irony, though. Camus insisted that the proper response to the absurd wasn't to escape it, but to embrace it. To live in full acknowledgement of life's futility and still rebel against it by living anyway. That's the power of the absurdist stance, to laugh in the face of meaninglessness. Now, Silicon Valley, on the other hand, it has built an entire religion around the denial of or the escape from the absurd. Erase death, erase struggle. Erase the messy biological reality of being human. But in doing so, they erase what it even means to live and what it fundamentally means to be a human in the first place. It's the ultimate anti-Camus move. Instead of embracing the absurd, they're trying to debug it as if existence itself were just bad code and is remedied with some patching. But existence isn't a bug. It's a whole system. And yet here we are, waiting for Godot, but with more effective branding. Now, we don't admit it out loud, but deep down, everyone's clinging to this fantasy that the machine is going to somehow save us, that the singularity will descend like a digital messiah and wipe away the boredom and all the suffering and, of course, the futility. But Camus would just shrug and light a cigarette, and he'd probably say something like, "You're still going to die, kid. You're just wasting more time and energy pretending you won't." And that's the absurd truth right there. Okay, so if every religion needs its prophets, right? Well, I guess Christianity had Paul. Islam had Muhammad. Silicon Valley has Ray Kurzweil, Elon Musk, Sam Altman, and, you know, a rotating cast of sweaty billionaires that look like they haven't touched sunlight since the Bush administration. Now, Ray Kurzweil is the high priest of the singularity. He's the man who's been predicting the end of human mortality for decades. And he takes something like 250 vitamins a day just to hedge his bets until the upload option is finally ready. Now, imagine being so afraid of death that you spend your mornings choking down horse pill multivitamins like they're communion wafers. That seems more like sacrament than science. Now look, personally, I'd love to have the option of immortality, to live as long as I desired, or as long as it made sense, and then opt out when I was ready to do so. Because I have a feeling that nobody would really want to live forever. It's just inconceivable. Now, it's not that there's some part of me deep down that envisions an endless future of possibilities that might be available to us through AI. Because deep down, every cynic is just a disappointed idealist, right? The issue is that immortality, or at least extensive longevity, is just a fantasy for us plebeians. Now, to my thinking, a digital copy of my brain stored in the cloud isn't immortality in the strict sense. How does the thing that makes me, me, in this body become truly immortal? Where is my consciousness in that context? And the only people that will ever have a shot at actual physical immortality or otherwise are the ultra wealthy. So, it's just a fantasy to believe that us commoners are going to have any access to this. Then there's there's Elon Musk, the guy people think is Tony Stark, but is actually more like Tony Stark if he dropped out halfway through an engineering degree and started selling flamethrowers to cope. Musk makes the bold claim that AI is going to destroy humanity right after he finishes monetizing it, of course. He's basically the televangelist who warns you about sin while secretly running the brothel. And then there's Sam Altman, OpenAI's boy wonder. A man who speaks in interviews like he's half Messiah, half LinkedIn post. He's the kind of guy who will tell you that AI is the most important invention since fire, but also casually mentions that it might wipe us all out. That doesn't really sound like leadership to me. It sounds like a hostage situation. Well, here's the bomb. Here's the detonator. But hey, don't worry. I'm on your side. Trust me. Yeah, sure, buddy. And yet, people still worship them. And not because these guys are particularly wise, but because in a culture, this spiritually bankrupt, even a guy selling digital snake oil, looks like a visionary. Here's the thing. Religions don't actually need to deliver on their promises. They just need to keep you waiting indefinitely. I mean, Christianity has been keeping people waiting for more than 2,000 years for the second coming. Silicon Valley keeps us waiting for version 2. Whatever, because salvation is always just over the horizon. The next update, the next breakthrough, the next device that you need to buy to keep up. You just have to have faith and don't stop believing. It's all the same theology, just rebranded. Heaven became the cloud. Angels became machine learning. God became the algorithm. And Kurzweil is up there promising resurrection through code instead of resurrection through Christ. It's the same story, different user interface. And the comedy of it all is how ordinary it looks. There are no cathedrals or stained glass. Now it's just convention centers with bad coffee and guys in quarter-zip sweaters whispering about the end of death. So instead of monks copying scripture by candlelight, it's coders hunched over laptops debugging the apocalypse. And we invariably buy into it sooner or later because it sounds a lot more comforting than the truth that nothing's coming, that death is non-negotiable, and that meaning has to be made and not downloaded. It's like Camus said, the only real philosophical question is whether life is worth living. But Silicon Valley's trying to patch that existential bug with a software update. And the prophets assure us that immortality is near. Consciousness upload is near. A world without suffering is near. But what if this is just another pyramid scheme? Except instead of your money, it's your soul. If Godot never shows, well, at least you can stop waiting. But with these prophets, you never get that closure. You're just strung along forever, half believing the miracle is right around the corner. And, you know, maybe that's the whole point. Maybe immortality doesn't have to be real. It just has to be believable enough to distract you from how bleak Tuesday afternoon feels in your cubicle or wherever. Okay, now here's the real joke. The singularity isn't coming because it's already here. And it didn't arrive with angelic choirs or the flash of transcendence. It showed up wearing sweatpants, holding a vape pen, and asking if you wanted fries with that algorithm. Think about it. Everyone's waiting for this monumental event where machines outthink us and change the fabric of existence. But right now, AI already decides what news you see, whether you get a mortgage, who gets hired, who goes to prison, what dating pool you're assigned to swipe through at 2 a.m. Congratulations. You're already living under machine rule. It's just less end of humanity melodrama and more, sorry, our algorithm flagged your medical claim as fraudulent. The singularity, it isn't lasers and Skynet, even though that sounds a lot more fun. It's more predictive text finishing your sentences and ad algorithms deciding you must be infertile because you Googled cast iron pan. It's Spotify telling you what music feels like nostalgia and then suggesting a bunch of AI-generated artists. It's Netflix telling you what you find funny. It's dating apps deciding which strangers you'll never sleep with. And it's Amazon deciding which emotional void you'll fill with a late-night purchase that arrives defective if it doesn't get stolen by a porch pirate first. This is it, folks. This is the machine transcendence we've been promised. A future where we no longer think. We just consume as easily as breathing. Where desire itself is outsourced to code. And that's the real absurdity. The prophets keep saying, well, one day AI will surpass human intelligence. Newsflash, it doesn't need to. It just needs to surpass human attention spans. And it's already done that. So we're living in what philosophers might call a low-resolution singularity. It's not godlike intelligence. It's godlike indifference. Machines don't care about you. They care about optimizing you, about nudging you toward another click, another purchase, and of course another dopamine spike to keep you going, to keep you hooked. Kurzweil promised immortality. And what we got was basically TikTok. And honestly, that's darker than any apocalypse scenario, because at least if AI rose up and wiped us out, there'd be some kind of dignity in that. A proper decisive ending. But instead, it's just eroding us little by little, day by day, one notification at a time, and not with a bang, but with autoplay. Like, it's like a death by a million cuts. Camus once wrote that the absurd hero must imagine Sisyphus happy, pushing his rock up the hill over and over and over again. But what happens when that rock is replaced by Instagram reels and push alerts? When our labor isn't rolling a boulder, but endlessly curating a personal brand for invisible algorithms? What happens then? I mean, not only is it absurd, it's comedy. Tragic comedy, sure, but comedy just the same. And here's the final irony. The singularity we fear, the godlike machine intelligence, it isn't even necessary. We're already living in the system. We're already trapped in a feedback loop where we outsource thought and decision and meaning to glowing rectangles. We don't need a messiah. We don't even need Godot. The App Store already arrived. And it's terrible. Now, here's the dirty secret nobody at a keynote will admit. The real cost of this so-called singularity isn't death by robot uprising. It's the slow suffocation of what it even means to be human. Because once you start outsourcing everything, your choices, your tastes, your sense of identity to algorithms, you actually stop living. It becomes a soulless existence because you've been reduced to a cursor blinking on a server somewhere waiting for the next prompt. And it's the same thing with relationships. Once upon a time, you'd meet someone at a bar or maybe a bookstore, if you're old enough to remember what those are, or while perusing the produce aisle in the grocery store. And now, you're swiping through faces like a bored executioner, deciding who lives or dies with your thumb of doom. And it's not even you really deciding, it's the algorithm filtering out low value matches based on metrics you'll never actually see. So we've reduced love to a math problem. And surprise, surprise, the math sucks. And as for a search for meaning, forget it. Because every time you feel the faintest glimmer of curiosity or wonder, the system is already there monetizing it. You look up ancient philosophy on YouTube, and suddenly you're knee-deep in a conspiracy playlist about lizard people. The line between education and radicalization is now a recommendation engine. And mental health? Well, let's just say that the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders should probably add algorithmic despair as a new disorder. We're living in a permanent dopamine loop of outrage and distraction and numbness on repeat. We don't need Orwell's Big Brother or Huxley's Soma, better known as the opiate of the masses, because we invented a device that combines both that we keep in our pockets. But the worst part is how normal it all feels. We accept this cage as convenience. We call it personalization, as if being fed a steady drip of ads and headlines and influencers designed to manipulate our behavior is somehow a gift. It's not personalization. It's domestication. And the machine doesn't care about your soul. It doesn't even know what a soul is. It just knows if you're clicking with enough speed and frequency. It's not shepherding humanity into transcendence. It's farming us like digital livestock. And maybe this is the most absurd punchline of all. We're told that AI is going to surpass human intelligence, but intelligence isn't really the problem. We don't need smarter machines. What we need is a reason to wake up in the morning without feeling like everything we do is utterly pointless. Camus said the fundamental question of philosophy is whether life is worth living. And these days, the question is whether life is worth living inside a push notification system. Whether existence is tolerable when every moment of it is pre-chewed, optimized, and packaged for consumption. We're all still Sisyphus, and we're endlessly pushing that boulder. Only now the rock is a glowing screen, and the hill is a infinite scroll. Okay. So we've arrived at the part where I'm supposed to ask, what do we do? And where I try to offer some helpful suggestions or ideas, though admittedly, I must confess that these thoughts usually leave me feeling a little empty, because I don't really have the answer. I focus on more upon better questions. And it's all rather overwhelming what's happening. And I feel like all I can do is offer some better perspective on all of this. And deep down, I'll admit that I sense that the only way sometimes to truly and effectively avert total disaster is by taking drastic measures. Allow your imagination to run a little wild here. However, I'm going to present to you ideas from my better nature, because that's my current prerogative under the circumstances. Now, that may change at some point. Time will tell. So, that being said, do we sit here like Sisyphus scrolling through TikTok and wait for the machine messiah to finally show up? Or do we admit that the singularity isn't coming? At least not in the way that we think it is. And furthermore, Maybe it never was supposed to. Now, here's the potentially good news. And I think Camus would approve. Because the absurd hero doesn't wait around for salvation. The absurd hero doesn't upload their soul to the cloud to chase immortality through venture capital. The absurd hero says, okay, fine. The universe doesn't give a shit. Machines don't care. So I'll do it myself. Now, rebellion in this sense isn't revolutionary in the headline-making sense. It's small, almost petty. But that's the point. It's about reclaiming your life from the algorithmic grind, even if it feels meaningless. So here's the first step. Unplug deliberately. Yes, you're going to struggle like an addict in withdrawal. But try it. Schedule 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes a day without notifications. Ignore the news. Don't Google that minor symptom and doom yourself with hypochondria. It's absurdly liberating, and you might even realize that your anxiety isn't really necessary. It's a side effect of continually surrendering your attention to the machine. Step two, reclaim analog pleasures. Read a book that doesn't have a recommendation algorithm attached. Write a letter by hand. Walk somewhere with no destination. These things are a little easier for me to do because I come from a generation before algorithms, and I'm still connected to a lot of that stuff. Camus wasn't sitting in a cafe tweeting. He was sitting, observing, thinking, talking, and laughing at life's ridiculousness. And I think we can do the same. Even if your shoulders ache from years of slouching over screens. Step three, laugh at it all. And I've said this so many times, I've become a broken record. If the absurd is the tension between our craving for meaning and the universe's indifference, humor is the pressure valve. Laugh at Musk tweeting about whatever bullshit he's tweeting about while your houseplants sadly die of neglect. Laugh at Kurzweil's vitamin regimen. Laugh at yourself for swiping right on someone just because the app said they were supposedly compatible. Humor is rebellion. It's a middle finger to the cosmic joke. All right, step four. Create meaning intentionally. Don't wait for a god or an AI, a prophet, a miracle keynote, whatever. Just build, make, love, fail, fall, get up, go again. Camus said life has no inherent meaning, but that doesn't mean it can't have meaning for you. It's the only immortality that you really get. The imprint you leave in someone else's consciousness, the moments that make life bearable, maybe even joyful, God forbid, for a little while. Step five, question everything. This is your only real defense against being herded like digital cattle. Question what you're told about the future, about success, progress, about technology, about yourself. Be skeptical without being cynical. Understand that part of the absurdist life is living consciously in a world that constantly tries to dumb you down and sell you immortality in a subscription box. And here's the final little twist. The absurd isn't depressing. It's actually liberating. Once you stop waiting for Godot, once you admit that the machine messiah isn't coming, suddenly the hill is yours. Push the boulder your way. Decide what matters and do it. Life is still going to be meaningless, but in that void, you get to dance or laugh or cry or just exist without having to justify it. And that's not nothing. Now I'm going to go a little Buddhist on here for a second before I end this video. So the singularity promises eternity. But all eternity is, really, is the present moment stretched endlessly. You can survive it. You can even enjoy it sometimes if you stop hoping the cloud is going to save you. So go ahead and disconnect and then reconnect and keep asking the hard questions. Ignore the prophets. Forget Godot, because the absurd hero already knows the truth. The only salvation worth having is the one you make yourself. And if a machine wants to help along the way, well, fine. But it's entirely optional. Okay, that's all I have today. As always, thanks for watching.